This is the SLA Workshop Podcast, episode number 11. In this episode, I am interviewing my very good friend, Cathy Beauvais. Cathy is a French language instructor who holds two master's degrees, one master's degree in French and one master's degree in Spanish, both with an emphasis in language teaching, and she is going to share with us her experience teaching French and learning languages and her suggestions to help you become a better language teacher and a better language learner. So let's get started.
Welcome to the SLA Workshop Podcast with Joel Sarate, the podcast that will expand your knowledge on how we learn languages and help you become a better language learner and better language teacher. And now your host, Joel Sarate.
Bonjour à tous, comment allez-vous? Bonjour, bon après-midi, bonsoir. Vous écoutez le SLA Workshop Podcast. Bienvenue à tous, bienvenue sur le podcast. Merci d'écouter le podcast. C'est un podcast sur la façon dont nous apprenons les langues. Nous allons parler de la façon dont nous apprenons une autre langue. Je suis Joel Sarate. Je m'appelle Joel Sarate. Au revoir. À bientôt. Merci beaucoup. Et commençons ce nouvel épisode. C'est parti. Hola a todos. ¿Cómo están? Welcome everybody to the SLA Workshop Podcast. In this episode, I welcome you in French because I am having a conversation with my very good friend, Cathy Beauvais. Cathy is an online language instructor. She offers private one-on-one individual lessons using Skype and other platforms that enable you to take online lessons. Cathy and I have been friends for a couple of years. I met Cathy through an online platform that enables you to take one-on-one lessons with native speakers. Some native speakers in this platform have some level of education in language teaching, and others are simply native speakers who don't have any formal education in language teaching, but they offer conversation lessons. When I found Cathy and I saw her credentials and testimonials, I was very impressed, so I started taking French lessons with Cathy, and I took lessons once a week for a while. And let me tell you, it was a great experience taking lessons from Cathy. Cathy is an excellent French instructor, and because she understands second language acquisition, she understood what I wanted to do during my lessons, and she beautifully adapted to my strategies, and we had a really good time. We had a great experience. I really enjoyed my lessons with Cathy. Cathy and I have many things in common. As you know, I have two master's degrees, a master's degree in Spanish and a master's degree in TESOL. And Cathy also holds two master's degrees, a master's degree in Spanish and a master's degree in French with an emphasis in what is called FLU, which means Français Langue Étrangère, which is basically the equivalent of a TESOL MA or TESOL MA, but for French, but in French. And basically, what that means is that she has studied how we learn languages based on the research in the field of second language acquisition. On top of that, Cathy has a talent, she has a knack for teaching languages, and she understands and has studied the literature in the field of SLA, so she can combine her talent with her knowledge. So that's very impressive, right? It is very difficult, actually, to find language teachers who have studied the literature in the field of second language acquisition because, let me tell you, it is very hard to dissect and understand the research, the theories, the literature in the field of second language acquisition. If you have a master's degree or you're in a master's degree program in TESOL or TESOL or another language with an emphasis in second language acquisition, you know what I am talking about. But if you haven't read anything in second language acquisition, go to the resource page and grab one of the book titles and articles and Google it. Sometimes you can find samples online and you can read maybe one chapter or one article. And once you read it, you'll understand why I say that. Why I say that it is not easy to really understand the research in the field of second language acquisition. So Kathy also has a lot of experience teaching French and also Spanish. Kathy is fully bilingual and she's also bicultural. Her Spanish is excellent. And in terms of teaching, she has taught groups and she has taught individual private lessons. And she has also worked in France for companies and other institutions teaching Spanish as part of their professional development for the staff. While she was living in Spain, she participated in programs to help immigrants in Spain to learn Spanish as a second language and for immigrants to be able to integrate into the Spanish community and culture. Also, during her time in Spain, she worked in different institutions to provide French lessons as part of their professional development. So Kathy has taught French and Spanish in different settings and to different groups of people. So she has a very well-rounded perspective on what it means to teach a language in many different settings. Kathy, just like me, is also very passionate about learning languages. Besides French as her first language, she speaks Spanish, English, Italian, and Portuguese, and she's also learning on her own Japanese and German. Wow, that is passion for learning languages, let me tell you. Kathy is also very creative. She has a YouTube channel, a blog, a website, and she enjoys creating materials and activities to help French students learn French in context and through culture as well. She also has a Facebook group called The French Instinct, where she is interacting with her community and sharing fun, authentic, and creative materials to help students learn French with her community. In addition to that, she writes articles for her blog and creates audio versions to give you an opportunity to listen to her speak French. I'll leave the link to her social media on the show notes, and you can also find her social media on Kathy's profile page on my website. I created a profile page for her because she's also contributing in the world that I am creating to help you learn Spanish and other languages. So you'll find the link to those on the show notes. In my opinion, Kathy, like Martina, is also an ideal language instructor because she knows about how we learn languages from the studies in the field of SLA. She continues to learn languages and she plays with different strategies in her own language learning journey. She also has a lot of experience teaching French in different settings. And on top of that, Kathy has a great human quality. She is an amazing human. She's kind, she's patient, she's fun, and she's caring. All right, so today Kathy is sharing with us her experience teaching and learning languages so that you can learn from her experience as a language learner and as a language teacher. I hope that Kathy's experience can help you become a better language learner and a better language teacher. All right, here it is, my interview with my good friend, Kathy Bove. Hi, Kathy. It is very nice to see you again. Thank you for having accepted my invitation for our conversation today and for sharing your experience learning and teaching languages with our audience. So thank you so much for being here in our Second Language Acquisition Workshop podcast, and I welcome you warmly.
Well, thank you, Joel. It's an honor to be here with you today.
Thank you. For me, it is also quite a thrill to be able to talk to you and share your experience and also what you have observed when you teach both French and Spanish, because you're bilingual, you're bicultural, and you have experience teaching those languages, both languages, right? You have taught French and you have taught Spanish.
Yes, yes.
Excellent, excellent. Well, let me ask you my first question, which is about your personal experience and also for our audience to get to know you a little bit and just know a little bit about how you came to realize that languages and teaching French was your passion. So, Kathy, share with us, when did you realize, when did you know that learning languages and teaching French and Spanish was your passion and was your talent?
Well, actually, for me, there are two different questions here, because one will be talking about when I realized learning languages and being a language teacher was my passion. And the other one would be talking about when I realized I wanted to teach French, which was much later. So I realized I loved learning languages when I studied English at school. I was 10, and English was the first language I had to learn. That was an incredible experience for me. I had never felt very curious about languages. And, you know, I grew up in a very small village in the French countryside. And at home, at school, and everywhere, we only spoke French. And we didn't have the opportunity to know what was happening around the world like we have today with the internet. I had been several times to Germany with my parents to visit some German friends, but they spoke very good French, and it was not So of course I knew there were other languages out there, but I had never felt very curious for learning any of them. English lessons were a whole discovery. The lessons were nothing special, traditional lessons where we learned vocabulary and grammar. Most of my friends found it hard and boring. It was a challenge trying to pronounce sounds and sounds I didn't even know they existed before. So I used to train myself when I was alone, repeating and pronouncing every word. And I was also really interested in the way the language worked, you know, trying to find out the meaning, the hidden message, and people starting to tell me I was good at it. So when you enjoy something and people give you positive feedback about what you do, that motivates you even more and you do it even better. So starting to learn English was already fun. And then when I was 12, I had to start another language. And I could choose between German and Spanish. I chose Spanish. And that's when my real passion for languages started. From my first Spanish lesson, and for many years, that language became one of the most important things in my life. I was in love with Spanish language and culture, and very soon it became obvious that I wanted to become a Spanish teacher. Actually, I still have notes that I took when I was in high school about what I enjoyed and what I didn't enjoy during the Spanish lessons, you know, about what, according to me, my teacher was doing right or wrong. So, okay, that's effective, or no, I will never do that when I become a Spanish teacher because it makes students feel bad or because it's boring or useless. And I was only 15, but I knew I wanted to become a Spanish teacher. So speaking like a native and learning as much as I could about Spain and Latin America was my main goal for many years. Although I kept on learning English and I started to study new languages like Portuguese and Arabic. But teaching French was not so obvious for me because I focused on Spanish and foreign languages. And that was what I really enjoyed. And actually, I had the opportunity to prepare myself to become a French as a foreign language teacher while I was studying Spanish, because it was something very popular in my university. But I was not ready for that. In reality, I started to teach French a little by accident. I went to Spain to finish my master's degree, and I needed to start making some money. And that's when I started to give French private lessons. Very soon, I started to have a lot of students because I was living in a small city where there was a language university and also an official language school, but there were very few natives to practice a foreign language with. And giving French lessons made me realize two things. The first one was that I really enjoyed teaching French, much more than I thought I would. And the second one was that it was really hard to teach my native language, because the point of view I had was not the same as the foreign student's point of view. And I didn't know how to explain things, where to start from. And although my first students were really happy taking lessons with me, I found it really challenging, much more than learning a new language. And that's why after finishing my master's degree in Spanish, I decided to go back to university to study as a foreign language and to prepare another master's degree in second language acquisition. And that has been really decisive for me, and it has totally changed the way I used to teach. Uh-huh. And the perspective I have now, I can say that although I always did my best, I was not making it right at the beginning. You know?
Right.
Because we are used to teaching in a certain way with a lot of grammar rules, exercises, and a lot of memorizing.
That's right.
Learning everything out of context. And we have a very precise idea of what is right and what is wrong. So I was doing that because I thought that was what being a good teacher was. But fortunately, studying second language acquisition and French as a foreign language made me realize there were better ways of being a good teacher. And well, I think all language teachers should have a perspective in that field, and even more if it's to teach their own language and a language like French, because there's such a big difference between the French we usually, the French that is usually taught and everyday French, because formal language and prescriptive grammar are so overestimated in the French society.
That's very interesting. That's very interesting. What I find interesting about your experience is also that it is similar to mine. Because when I started learning English, I didn't speak any English at all. And I was taking English as a second language classes at the community college here in California. And I didn't really had in mind maybe teaching a language, but I was enjoying learning English. I love learning English, and my classmate saw that I was doing well and I was learning English fast, and they would ask me questions, and I enjoyed helping them. So I became like the additional teacher in the classroom. So I was helping my classmates, and that's how I started to also teach English, even though I was also a student. So that was very interesting about your experience, that you were also enjoying learning English, and that was part of also your discovery process. And So that was something interesting about your experience. And another interesting aspect of your experience is that you were also teaching Spanish to immigrants when you live in Spain. When you shared that with me, I thought that was amazing, because I did something similar in the United States. I was teaching Spanish-speaking students, and I was teaching them English, so I was able to talk to them about culture. But because I also know the culture in the Spanish-speaking world, I was able to connect with them, and then they were able to connect with me and understand the culture. So that was a very interesting experience to teach immigrants and teach them the second language. So for you, teaching them Spanish, and your Spanish is excellent. Every time I talk to you in Spanish, your command of the Spanish language is excellent. I would never guess that you speak it as a second language. And also, your English is very good. Your command of the English language is very good. And I'm always impressed by that. And I'm impressed by all the languages that you speak when I hear you in your video say something in Italian and Portuguese, and also learning words in Japanese and learning words in German. And I didn't know that you also know a little bit of Arabic.
Yes. Well, I cannot speak Arabic because I learn Arabic, you know, the formal way, the formal Arabic with grammar and translation. So, but I still know the writing and some words, but I cannot communicate. So that's something I need to do after German and Japanese.
But definitely that is impressive. That's impressive.
Thank you.
Excellent. Well, now let's talk a little bit then about the actual art of learning and teaching languages. So I know that you speak all these languages, and you also like to learn maybe phrases or words in other languages and do something with those languages. But what are some things you do to keep learning the languages you speak? Do you have any particular things you do, or the strategies or interventions or techniques you use? Are you also taking online one-on-one lessons from time to time? What are you doing to keep learning languages? Maybe our audience can benefit from your own experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I speak Spanish, but for me now, Spanish is like French. You know, I think in both languages every day, so that doesn't really count as a foreign language.
To you
anymore.
Now, it's a second nature. It's you're bilingual and bicultural.
If we're talking about the language, I can speak quite fluently, and I can understand Portuguese, English, Italian. So what I try to do is just use them as a tool, you know, use them to acquire more knowledge, information about topics I like or about subjects I work on, and also use them as an entertainment. So concretely, for example, I read novels, articles, I watch movies, TV shows, I listen to podcasts, just like I would do in French and Spanish. And to integrate those languages in my life, I subscribe to pages, groups, channels in all the languages I speak using the social media. And that gives me the opportunity to listen to them and read them every day, without having to search for any special material. I also use English to interact on in online communities, and I speak English with some friends I have here in France who are from the USA. So it's the first language I use the most after French and Spanish. And I always keep on learning and improving. And I like, for example, when one friend or someone I'm talking to gives me feedback about about what I say or what I write, because it's hard to go beyond intermediate level. There are always words you don't know or expressions you don't know, and you speak well enough to be understood. So progress is not a priority anymore. So it's good when someone tells me, well, Katie, actually, you know, we don't say it that way, or we don't pronounce it that way. Or if I notice a new word or expression, I try to focus a little bit on that. And maybe I will repeat it and I'll say, or, well, that's interesting. No, I didn't know that word. So, and that will help me integrate that new word and connect it with what I already know in the language or in another language I know. You know, I can make connections in my mind. So that's for English. And for Italian, I'm taking one-on-one conversations with Martina, actually. And,
yeah, Martina. Hi, Martina, if you're listening to this episode, Martina.
Hello, Martina.
Ciao, Martina, ciao.
And, well, it's important because of all the languages I've learned and all the languages I speak, Italian is the only one I've learned completely on my own and without spending time in the country. For the other languages, I've always taken lessons at the beginning, and I've spent at least 2 or 3 months in the country, but I haven't been to them since I've started to learn Italian. So I need to have real conversations with a native, and you know, Martina is also a teacher with good preparation, and she also enjoys learning languages, so it's really nice talking with her, and I know we are on the same page. So what I like to do before the conversation, for example, is to prepare a little something. For example, I will think of what I'm going to say about a specific topic, or I will review some vocabulary before. And that can be a topic I've chosen, or maybe Martina sends me some content, and we can discuss that during the lesson. So I prepare that, and I also like to take like 15 minutes before the lesson to prepare myself and to be really ready. It's like a warm-up. Mm-hmm. I read something in Italian, or I watch a small video, and that helps me being ready to speak Italian right away, because sometimes what happens, and I see that with my students too, is that the first 10 or 15 minutes of the session, I'm not totally thinking in the language. I'm looking for the words I want to say. Maybe my pronunciation is not so good. But if I prepare myself before, I can see that my Italian is much better. And I can really take the most out of my Italian lesson. So, for example, if the lesson starts at 5, in my calendar, I put 4:45. And at 4:45, I'm preparing myself to think in Italian. I'm listening, or I'm speaking to myself. That's something I do a lot. And then to review, for example, what we've done with the lesson. So Martina writes some notes, some things to help me, and I like to review that after the lesson out loud. That's how I learn. For me, pronunciation is very important, and it helps me a lot memorizing. Then for the other languages I'm learning, so German and Japanese, and although I go faster on German because I can catch the meaning much easier, I cannot speak German or Japanese already, and I cannot understand authentic content yet. So I'm using two main tools. I'm using an audio lesson method with small dialogues, meaningful dialogues, where you focus on the meaning, on understanding. So you acquire the language in context, even if it's a very simple story.
Very good, very good.
And I can see that's very effective. And actually, it's the main support I used to start understanding Italian. So for me, understanding is the main goal when I start a new language. Once I reach a good comprehension level, then interacting with natives becomes much easier and natural. So my first goal is understanding. Listening and pronunciation are very important for me. So I listen to the dialogues, trying to understand as much as I can. I listen to this content when I'm doing something that doesn't require a lot of attention, like watching the dishes or cleaning, or also when I go to bed, or if I wake up in the middle of the night. And actually, that works like meditation for me. I don't know if you can call it language meditation.
I like that. I like that, language meditation.
Because, you know, I focus on what I'm listening to, and I try to understand, and I forget everything else, and that helps me relax, actually. So, first, I hear the first dialogues several times and during several days. And then, during the day, when I have some time, I take the book to read the dialogue and to check the translation and to read the explanations. But they're only useful and relevant explanations that you need to understand. So once I've read the dialogue out loud and after checking the translation and the explanation, I keep on listening to the audio, trying to visualize what's happening in the conversation. Without trying to translate, I never translate into another language. I just try to picture the situation, and I do that until I can understand everything. And after that, I will do the same with the following lesson. I can listen to each dialogue maybe 50 times or more at the beginning. I've never counted, but I don't know. But there's a moment when the words I start to understand without paying too much attention. And that way of using this method allows me to develop a very good intuition, because I don't learn words isolatedly. That's hard to I remember them in context, in sentences, in dialogues, and helps me a lot to be able to retain the information and to use those words after. Another thing I do is to look for videos or TV shows that are specially designed for beginners or lower intermediate students, but where there's a real story. Not videos where they explain the meaning of a word or grammar rules. I choose videos that I enjoy, and it's not always easy to find, because, you know, for beginners or lower intermediate, there are not many videos that actually tell a story. And I watch the videos. Then I check the subtitles, and what I do is I use an app, an application that automatically imports the video, extracts the audio and the transcription. So after that, I can listen to the audio or watch the video, and at the same time, I can read the text like I would do on YouTube with the subtitles. But what I can do with this app is focusing on the text, and just by clicking on a word or phrase, I can see the translation, and I can save the words I don't know in order to review them, later. And when I import new content, I see automatically if I know some words, or I can see if there are words I've already saved, or if there are words I don't know. So it's very useful, because that helps me track my progress and keep along with the new words or expression. So I learn a lot in context. Okay, so there are two things very important for me.
Tell me.
From the beginning, is learning in context and getting the pronunciation right. So until I'm not sure about pronunciation, I won't start reading books where I cannot also listen to the audio to check the pronunciation. Once everything is clear about the pronunciation in the language, I start reading even if I don't have the audio. And when I read, I go very slowly at the beginning. Usually I read several times the same paragraph or the same page. Because the first time maybe I only catch a few words and I don't get the sense of the text. But if I read it again, maybe two or three times, my brain starts to decode from the and maybe it's enough to get the general sense of what I'm reading and to understand the story and to keep on reading. So I'm not going to look for the translation of each word I don't know, because that would be really boring and that might kill the entertainment.
That'll kill the fun of it.
And that works very well with me to improve comprehension, is reading or listening something that I already know in another language. Because if I already know what's happening, that will help me guess a lot of words and phrases from that context. For example, in German, I'm watching a TV show for beginners that's also available in Spanish. It's the same story with the same characters, but they only change the actors in small details in order to adapt it to the language and the country. So I watch it in Spanish with my kids. They speak Spanish, but they speak better French, so it's always good for them to get more content in Spanish. And they actually find it entertaining. So we do that together. We watch it in Spanish and I watch it in German on my own. And that's really effective. Actually, I started understanding spoken Italian thanks to a TV show I used to watch in French and Spanish a long time ago. And I enjoyed it so much that I used to watch it again and again. So basically, I knew most of the dialogues. So I had already acquired some basic Italian, and I looked for that show in Italian. And I was really surprised to see how many words and phrases my brain retained in Italian effortlessly, thanks to that. And that was just the step I needed to start understanding authentic Italian conversations, show or movies without knowing them before. So I really recommend this strategy.
Wow. I am very impressed about everything that you do. I'm very impressed because I didn't know all the different strategies that you use. And it's interesting because I've known you for a couple of years now, and I know that something that we have in common is that we want to do the best thing that we can on whatever we're doing. If we're teaching or we're learning, we're very meticulous about how we want to do it. And I like to think about all the things that I can do, and I'm very impressed about how you have all of these things that you know you can do and that you have tried and that you have experimented with. So that just tells me that you are not only the ideal language teacher, the ideal language instructor, but you're also the ideal language learner. You have a very good plan, and you like to experiment, you like to try new things, you're not afraid to also listen into authentic material. And also, from what you said earlier, you use language as a tool, and you also learning context, and then you focus on meaning, and you notice grammatical things, and that is very interesting about your experience, because this is what makes a difference when you know about second language acquisition. Because I can see that you understand how we learn languages, that you have studied the literature, you have studied articles and research papers and studies about how we learn languages, and it is interesting how you have now incorporated that naturally into your ability to learn a language, where you know that you need to focus on context, you need to use language as a tool, you need to just pay attention to grammar as it emerges in the communicative context where you're learning the language. And because of that, you're an effective and efficient language learner. So that's what you share with us with your experience can definitely help a lot of learners to notice these things that you do, because all of us have different strategies. All of us have maybe different ways to do things, but we come back to the core, which is using the language as a tool, using language in context, noticing grammar and connect that with meaning, because that's also an essential part of learning languages. And I am very impressed to see how you bring all of that together. So you are the ideal language teacher and the ideal language learner. So you're both. So you bring the best of both worlds, Kathy.
Well, thank you, Joel. But I have to say that you are the ideal language learner too, because when you were taking French lessons with me, you always had very good strategies and games, and you knew exactly what you wanted to do in each lesson.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you.
I had nothing to do, just having a good time with you, helping you do whatever you had prepared. And I also learned a lot from you. And I hope you will soon talk about all those strategies you have in your podcast and share them with your audience, because they're very useful.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Yes, I do remember our French lessons, and I had a lot of fun, and it was easy to take lessons with you because you understand the research, you understand how we learn languages, and I didn't need to explain to you why I was doing certain strategies. You understood, and then you were just flowing with my strategies, and you gave me a lot of comprehensible input, just like with Martina. I was asking you a lot of questions, and I do remember that you would even tell me, I feel like I am in a TV show, that I you're asking me all of these true or false, or what word doesn't belong to the group, or give me a description of one of the vocabulary words and I'll try to guess which one you're talking about, and all of these different strategies, because I understand that we need to primarily learn a language in context and focus on meaning. And in that process, we can also connect the grammar with the context that it creates. So I was having a lot of fun. So if you are looking for someone to take French lessons from, definitely go and look for Kathy. You'll see with our interview today, you can see how Kathy thinks and how she's very meticulous. She really thinks about what she's doing. And imagine if as a learner, she takes all of these steps. Now imagine what she does as a language teacher. And this is even perfect for my next question, because my next question for you is about the kinds of strategies, the kinds of techniques that you use when you're teaching French. So when you're teaching French. So Kathy, share with us, what are some of the techniques or strategies that you use when you're teaching French to your students during your private lessons? And what have you observed about their progress and their ability to speak French? How do you notice their progress and how they feel about themselves, about being able to understand and also use French?
Yes. Well, the first thing I would like to remind is that it's important to remember that grammar and vocabulary are not goals when you learn a language. You know, they are tools. And so the goal is communication. It's understanding, interacting. So that's always what I try to do during my lessons. For example, I won't give you a lesson about proximal future with rules and to memorize and drills. That can be interesting maybe if you have a particular interest in grammar, or if you're an advanced student who already knows about grammar, who likes grammar and who wants to prepare a specific exam where he will be asked about rules and about theory. But that is knowledge about the language. That is not good, competent.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, I agree.
So someone who wants to learn the language to be able to speak it, write it, understand it, use it in his everyday life or in his work, even in formal contexts, doesn't need to memorize to do that. So my goal is to help you express yourself and understand that language in situations that you will encounter in your life, according to your goal in your everyday life or in the workplace, for traveling, it doesn't matter, but it has to be useful and relevant for you. For example, if you want to be able to interact with natives in everyday situations, to be able to talk about your friends on the weekend. Huh? So that is one of the skills you need to develop. Well, you probably need to know vocabulary about hobbies, about family, and you need to use either the present tense or the proximal future. So the best way to start helping you acquire what you need is first to offer you meaningful content and comprehensible input, for example. For example, listening to an interview or watching a scene from a movie or a TV show where native speakers talk about plans for the weekend. Maybe I'll even choose something that's funny, because I like to use humor, because it can make learning really entertaining. So that will give you the opportunity to see how we actually talk about our plans, to hear vocabulary and grammar in context and in meaningful interactions. So you can observe how it works, and you can get used to the words, phrases, structures we use in that situation. And if the situation you're already familiar with, you already know how to talk about the plans for the weekend in your life. So you'll probably be able to understand a lot. The context can help you understand. And also the images, you know, if it's a video that can help you, or if I show you some pictures while you're listening to the conversation. So then I will try to help you acquire the capacity of being able to talk about your plans for the weekend. And we can have an interaction about our plans. Maybe I'll tell you what French people usually do for the weekend, or I'll ask you what you think French people do during their weekend, maybe with fun propositions, you know, things that probably cannot happen. Or I'll ask you to guess what I'm doing this weekend, giving you some clues. And after that, I will ask you questions about what you will do for the weekend. Maybe I'll try to guess it. I'll ask you to give me some keywords. You know, that can be fun. We will have an authentic interaction about the topic, and we'll talk about what you will do for the weekend so that you can put into practice and integrate what you've heard before. And you're actually involved into the conversation because you're talking about yourself. And that's very effective because you learn something that's relevant for you. And if you're involved into the conversation and what you're learning is based on what you need and what you like, then you will retain much better the information because you can learn more effectively what we enjoy, what we like. And there's a reason for that. Actually, the hormones and neurotransmitters that our brain produces when we are doing something we enjoy, for example, when we are eating chocolate or when we are hugging a person we love or making sport, those hormones and neurotransmitters are essential for the learning process because they regulate important functions like memorization, attention, self-confidence, or motivation. It means that if you don't enjoy something, you'll probably never learn it. Okay, so that's why it's really important for me to choose activities and topics the students like and to make learning as enjoyable as possible for them. So I really try to adapt myself to each student and to each situation. And that's why one-on-one lessons are the best, because you have one teacher does for you. Another thing that is really important to me is the way I give feedback to the students. I never interrupt. But I never interrupt because that would only cause negative effects. First of all, it's really unpleasant to be interrupted when you're talking in any type of situation, right? When you're talking, you want the other person to pay attention to the message you're trying to share. And even if you're talking in a second language, there are many things you want to share. So interrupting a student for me is a lack of respect because it means I'm paying more attention to the way he's saying things than to the to what he's saying. And another reason why I don't interrupt a student to correct him is because in that moment it will be useless. When you're talking, trying to express yourself in another language, you're focusing on the message you want to say, on pronouncing correctly, on using the right words. So your brain is totally focused on that, and you won't pay attention to the correction. You cannot pay attention to the correction. You won't even notice or remember it. And even if you paid attention to what I say, then you would probably lose the idea you were trying to express. So it's something I really try not to do, because as a learner, I really don't like it either. So that doesn't mean I don't give feedback to the students, but I use different strategy to do so. For example, I will integrate the correction into the conversation when the person has finished expressing her idea. I will say, okay, so what you mean is that, and I will reformulate what she has said the way a native speaker would say it. And that's also a way to make sure I've understood correctly what she wanted to say. Or when the person has finished expressing her idea, then I'll keep on talking about that idea and try to reuse the words or expressions in a more native-like way of speaking. Or I will ask her questions about what she has said using those words or expressions. So that way, that's a way to give feedback to help her speak better. And it's also a way to give the opportunity to listen again to those words and to use them again after that to develop the idea, which will enable that person to retain better the new elements, and also to show that I'm actually paying attention to the message and that I want to communicate on the idea that was exposed. I also take notes during the session. So those new words, expressions, phrases, or thing that the students has had a hard time expressing, I write them in a document I share after or during the lesson, it depends. So I take notes and the students can review them. Actually, I always do that even if the student has been aware of the feedback during the session, because we'll be able to read that again. And for beginners, I also like to join audio feedback, because it's important to know the pronunciation. Also, if you can read and listen at the same time, that can help retaining better. And about feedback, I also think it's important to, you know, if it's written feedback, to write the words at least in a small context, at least in a sentence or something, because if you write the word isolatedly, then it's hard to remember the meaning. You don't remember when you're reviewing the notes what you were talking about, you know. So, and it's hard then to be able to use those words. No, and that's all. Okay, that's all about what I wanted to share about what I do during my lessons.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. The way you describe it is for everybody to understand, and I truly appreciate that, because it is not easy to understand what the field of second language acquisition tell us, and also put it in simple words, and the way that you say, you know, I use corrective feedback to help students, and that you don't interrupt your students when they are trying to process language in their mind. And I'm just amazed of everything that you do. So this is why, when you meet someone who has studied second language acquisition, when you meet a language instructor who knows, your experience can be much better, because when the teacher understands and can create communicative contexts that are easy and also more enjoyable than your experience as a language learner. It's so much better. So if you are thinking about taking French lessons, you should go and take a lesson with Kathy, even just for the fun, to see what Kathy does and all the strategies that she brings and she incorporates. And just even taking a lesson with Kathy just for the sake of noticing what strategy she uses, and then also to have the opportunity to ask her about why do you use this strategy? Because then Kathy can explain, well, what the research tells us is that we don't really learn languages in isolation. We don't learn a language by memorizing a vocabulary list. We don't learn a language by memorizing conjugations. It's more than that. So thank you for sharing all of that with our audience. I am really happy that we have this opportunity to talk about your experience teaching French, and also for our audience to get to know you, because you are actually somebody that they can reach if they want to take a French lesson from you, and if they want to learn about your strategies, they can find you and they can take a lesson from you. So you're somebody who they can reach. You're not somebody in a tower who doesn't have contact with anybody. So thank you for sharing all of that. And so from what I am hearing, when you are also teaching grammar to your students, you're not really teaching them explicitly and practicing with isolated sentences. You're connecting the grammar with the context. You're using grammar as a tool. So how do you teach them grammar? You don't teach them explicitly. You're embedding the grammar in context, and so that they can learn in context, which, by the way, it's the way that we should be able to learn a language, when the purpose is to speak the language, to take an exam, to pass an exam. Then that's different, because you're only trying to pass an exam. But if you actually want to use the language, incorporate the language, it takes more than that. So just tell us a little bit more about how you incorporate grammar into your lessons, into your teaching, Kathy.
Well, I was talking before about the example in proximal future, you know, so with meaningful content. For example, if you want to be more aware of the grammar, I will try to help you like discovering the rule. You know, I don't need to tell you explicitly what the rule is. Some students need that and they want that and they ask me, and so of course I will tell them.
And there is nothing wrong with knowing grammar rules, but what we know is that if you're thinking that you need to memorize all the rules to be able to speak the language, to communicate, that's when that knowledge does not transfer to your subconscious. So, but you're right. And I love learning grammar rules, and you do too. Like, we know how the language works, but we understand that if you want to speak, it's a different strategy. So, but continue, Kathy. I just wanted to say that because I'm just as passionate about the topic as you are.
Yes. So I think everyone can develop his grammatical intuition. Uh-huh. So when you have meaningful content and comprehensible input, and if you're with someone who can guide you to maybe find out through observation how the language works, and then even if you don't know explicitly the rule, you are able to use that grammatical structure or that grammatical tense, you know. So so basically when I study grammar with my students, I try to integrate into the context and make it meaningful. Because, well, actually, I have been teaching grammar. Well, not. I have been teaching French and Spanish to people who had hardly ever been to school. So I couldn't use technical words, all the words we usually use to describe grammar. And so that's important to know that you don't need to know all these words and to study grammar to be able to learn a language. And that's our job as teachers, to be able to make things easier and practical.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point, because that's our role. That's our job in our lessons that we offer, because then if we understand how we learn languages, then we can be more effective on how we provide comprehensible input, how we provide context, how we embed the grammar in communicative context. So all of that is as a language teacher, fascinating as well. And tell me, Kathy, in terms of vocabulary, because vocabulary is, besides comprehensible input, besides getting a lot of input, vocabulary is a foundation also to learn a language. How do you help your students with vocabulary?
Well, so I help my students learning vocabulary in context. So, for example, if we are going to, I like to tell my students what we're going to do in the next lesson before. Maybe not always, and maybe not advanced students, but at least beginners or intermediate students, so that they can prepare themselves before. So, for example, at the beginning, it's important to learn basic vocabulary, the vocabulary you will need in everyday life, concrete things. And so if they know, for example, in next lesson, we will talk about breakfast, for example. So I can send them content and documents where they can review vocabulary, you know, and listen to the pronunciation, so they can prepare that, and also prepare what they will want to tell me about that. So they will talk about what they have for breakfast, for example. So they will already think about that. Maybe they will look for the words they don't know. And so during next lesson, they will have the opportunity to use that vocabulary during the lesson and to put into practice what they have prepared and the vocabulary they have started to learn.
Okay, so you would give your students an idea of the kind of vocabulary they will use in your lesson. And so when they go to the lesson, then you create the context, the mental images, so that they can connect the vocabulary with something meaningful, with a meaningful context, with a meaningful communication. So you give your students an opportunity to just play with the words. You don't tell them, memorize this vocabulary list, use flashcards. You tell them, okay, here is the vocabulary, just look at it. And in your lesson, then you give them context, you give them a communicative context to use it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and also I like, you know, use pictures at the beginning so that they can, it's not only the word, it's also a picture. So they can memorize a mental picture of the word. And that's, I think that's helpful at the beginning to not to be always translating from your tongue, because if you see a picture of, for example, of I don't know, of
an apple, pineapple, right? Pineapple.
Pineapple.
I say, yeah, you thought of an a pineapple and I thought of an apple.
Almost the same. So they see the picture of a pineapple and they know what a pineapple is. They don't need to think in their native language in the word pineapple. So if I say the word maybe and they see the picture, so that's a pineapple, you know. It's like instantaneous information. And also another thing that I like to do with vocabulary and also with grammar and language in general is to give the student the opportunity to use and also to listen to meaningful content during several sessions, you know, not only one, because you need to hear and to use many times the words to be able to memorize them. So if maybe we are working on subjunctive, which is a very important topic in French language. So in the first session, we will see the subjunctive and vocabulary about a specific topic. And in another session, we will still use that vocabulary with subjunctive, but with maybe from another perspective and with other content, so that they have the opportunity to use it again.
Okay, that's very interesting. Thank you so much, Cathy, for sharing all of that with us. And before we finish our conversation today, my last question for you is just to simply give suggestions or advice for anybody in our community, for our listeners who want to teach and learn another language. What advice would you give them? What would you tell them about learning and teaching languages?
Yes. Well, for people who are learning languages or trying to learn languages, I would say that they shouldn't take things too seriously. You know, learning a language should be a great experience and it could be entertaining, you know. So try to find out what you like learning, how you like to learn. Because everyone can learn a language. The capacity we all have, it's not only for people who are good at memorizing and understanding grammar. So if you've already tried to learn a language and you haven't succeeded, don't think it's because you cannot do it. And remember that learning in context with meaningful interactions and comprehensible input is essential. So as I was saying, don't take things too serious. Learning language is more about having fun than about memorizing or formal learning. And also, for teachers, I would like to tell them that I think it's not necessary to focus so much on prescriptive grammar, because I've met so many people who had a very high level of proficiency in French, in speaking French, you know, like they could speak perfectly with no grammatical errors. But the thing is that they had never learned about everyday spoken French. And so they arrived here in France. And first of all, they spoke like books, which was totally unnatural. And some people would even make fun of them because nobody speaks like that. And second of all, they couldn't understand a word of native conversation. So I would say to the teachers that teach what is useful. And maybe some things are not considered as correct in formal language, but they are in everyday language, in everyday French. And also pronunciation and vocabulary are very different in everyday language. So beginning in French, avoiding all the reality of everyday language and just keep some slang as an anecdote. You know, spoken French has evolved a lot, and you have to take that into account when you teach. and finally, I would like to say that it's important to learn about how we learn languages and to keep on learning languages ourselves as teachers, in order to put ourselves into a learner's skin. And I'm learning two other languages, but I have the feeling that every time I learn a new language, I discover a new aspect of learning that I hadn't experienced. And so learning a new language helps you feel what it is like and how challenging it can be. And you always keep on learning and developing new strategies. So even if you already speak another language, I think it's important to always keep on learning.
That's great. Thank you for that advice, Cathy. You remind me of a professor of mine who I had two professors who gave me a comment that I remember. One was a language instructor. I was learning one language with this instructor. And he mentioned to me one day, you know, one of the problems that we have in our profession is that we get too busy and we don't have an opportunity to see how other teachers are teaching their classes. We don't get to see how other people are doing it and how we can also improve by understanding how other teachers are teaching. So that is one comment that this professor made, and I thought that was very interesting. And another professor told me at one point, you know, Joel, one of the challenges that we have as language instructors is that when you stop learning a second language, another language, and you become advanced in the language you're teaching, but you don't learn another language, you begin to lose perspective on what it means to be the learner. You begin to do things that are more natural to you, but you begin to disconnect with the experience of the learner. So that's why when I talk about the ideal language teacher, like I said on my interview with Martina, I think Martina is the ideal language teacher because she is teaching, getting experience, and also learning herself. And she's an advanced in one language, a beginner in another language. And she also has a great human quality. And likewise, you, Cathy, you not only possess the knowledge of the field of second language acquisition, you have two master's degrees. And in both masters, you have focused your studies in learning languages, and you keep learning all of these languages. So you have an opportunity to put into practice what you know, and you don't disconnect from the experience of what the learner feels like. And also your great human quality. That's probably one of the main reasons why I enjoyed also my lessons, because you were very open to share your routines and things that you did in your life, and you were very open and friendly, and your human quality is also part of what makes you the ideal language teacher. So thank you so much, Cathy, for this opportunity to hear about your experience, to share your experience both teaching a language and learning a language. And I am sure that our listeners can benefit from listening to you. And also, if any one of you would like to take a lesson from Kathy, just look at the show notes and go find Kathy. And just even for the experience of knowing what Kathy does can help you. If you also teach a language and just want to have also the ability to connect with someone. So I'll leave the information for Kathy. But Kathy, thank you so much. And I hope to see you again and have another conversation sometime in the future as well. Not in the distant future, but maybe in the near future, Kathy. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Joel, for inviting me. And it has been a great pleasure, a great opportunity for me, and also a great challenge because I have to, I'm not used to speak so much English. Thanks a lot, Joel. See you soon.
Très bien. Merci beaucoup. That was my interview with my dear friend, Kathy Beauvais. If you want to know more about Kathy, just take a look at the show notes. I'll leave a link to the profile page I created for Kathy on my website, and I'll leave the links to her social media and where you can get in touch with Kathy in case you are interested in taking online private lessons with Kathy. If you like the podcast, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and please leave me a 5-star review on iTunes so that it can help me grow and reach more people who are interested and curious about how we learn languages. If you have 2 minutes, please leave me a comment as well to give new listeners an idea of what this podcast is about and what they can learn and expect from it. If you have 2 minutes, please leave me a comment as well to give new listeners an idea of what this podcast is about and what they can learn and expect from it. Remember that if you have suggestions, questions, or ideas for me to cover on a future episode of this podcast, or if you just want to say hi, if you just want to reach out to me, you can email me at the SLA Workshop Podcast, one word, all lowercase, at yahoo.com. That is SLA Workshop Podcast at yahoo.com. It is simply the name of the podcast, at yahoo.com, one word, all lowercase. I might read your email on the next episode to share your comment with our community. All right, this is all. Thank you, and I'll see you on the next episode of the SLA Workshop Podcast. And for now, I'll just say hasta pronto. Adios.
Thanks for listening to the SLA Workshop Podcast with Joel Zárate. We hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll see you again on our next episode. And for now, we'll just say hasta pronto. Adios.